Good to be here this morning. Amen. Thank you for coming today and being a part of our worship service today. We got a few empty chairs today, but you're filling one and we're glad you're here. Amen. We're going to go back to the book of Galatians this morning. We started last week laying some foundation for a message of the battle of control. There's forces in this world today that are doing everything they can to move us out of where God would have us to be. And we need to recognize that as we enter into the month of June. We're going to be talking about uniqueness. That I am uniquely me. That you are a unique individual that God has orchestrated. And we read Friday night some scripture that talked about that you were from your mother's womb, how he made you and molded you, and that you were marvelously and wonderfully made. And when you were born with a distinct reason. God said, I want this person to do this in life. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that you just weren't born, but that you had a purpose in being here? And God's design is that we find that purpose. And in the life's roadway, many things will come against us to move us out of that purpose. And so we started dealing with the spirit of Antichrist that is in our world today. There is an Antichrist spirit today. We read a statistic Friday night that less than 20% of Americans go to church anymore. Less than 20% of Americans, America's a pretty big place, don't go to church anymore because they don't see the need in it. We have a tremendous vision before us, a tremendous ministry before us. For in this time, God has ordained us to be here. Sometimes we say, oh boy, it'd be nice to live in the day of Jesus or the day of Paul, but whatever reason, we are here. And by us being here now, we have a purpose. But we must be aware, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And as we realize that the main goal of the enemy has always been to counterfeit everything God's got. It's my job as called to minister to you each and every day to give you the word of God, to give you as he leads for me to give you what God is saying to the church today. And many people today have been lured asleep because of performance. You remember we talked about that the spirit of Antichrist replaces power with performance. Doing a lot of stuff, but nothing changes. A lot of activities, but nothing changes. They come in sick, they leave sick. How many of you know when you get into the real presence of God, it changes things? How many of you know that chains are broken off of us when you get into the presence of God? How many of you know liberty comes into your life? Bondages are broken when you get into the presence of God. And the enemy has lured the church world asleep in the thinking that as long as you perform, as long as you do everything right, you've had church. Well, I want to say to you, you haven't had church, you've just had a meeting, but when you get into the presence of God, that's when you've had church. And so, God led me to the book Galatians, and Paul is dealing here with a situation where, as I mentioned to you last week, that believers that have been saved under his ministry are now turning against him. Because of the set group of people, the Jews outnumber the Gentiles. And so they're saying to you, you're not really saved. You got to understand, we're going to talk about three things. Number one, today we're talking about manipulation. Manipulation. There's a spirit of Antichrist. There's a battle of control. And there are three ways that the enemy wants to control. And number one is manipulation. He loves manipulation because what manipulation does, it steals who you are and forms you into being something that most of the time you're not happy being. As I said before, performance has been initiated in the world today, and no more power is sought just long as we do things. And now the pressure is to do things like everybody else is doing it. You see, what happens is the enemy comes in and he wants to attack truth. I won't talk about manipulation, and I found here in Galatians chapter 1, I'm kind of full this morning, so bear with me, I got a lot I want to say. It said, Paul, an apostle. You remember I said last week how he addresses his letters, the call of God, doing all this, a slave, bond slave of Jesus Christ. But this particular letter, he goes right to the point, and he lets the people know, because you got to understand, they have gone around and they say, this guy Paul that you guys are following, this guy Paul that has so-called changed your life, he's not real. And confusion, manipulation. Manipulation always attacks the truth. Have you ever been in a relationship, and I really want you to get this because I felt this in my spirit all day, all week. Be careful of the relationships that you are involved in, because if you're in a relationship that always, always their way has got to be done and not your way, be careful. Have you ever had a relationship like that? That as long as you do what everybody wants you to do, everybody's happy. But when you decide to do your thing, you're ostracized. Y'all ain't going to say nothing this morning, but you're sitting there thinking this morning, you know what I'm talking about. That's called manipulation. That's powerful control. There are controlling spirits today that want you to do what they want you to do. And whatever the cost is, that's what they're willing to pay. And that's what they were doing to Paul. And they were telling all his followers, so they're all confused. And it says, Paul, an apostle, not of men. Look what he said. Not of men, neither by man. You see, the problem is that God created every one of you as an individual. Manipulation wants you to be what I am or what you are or to be everybody the same thing. How many of you know that God loves every one of us on an individual level? God doesn't love me in a mass love. A group hug. He loves me individually. And he is willing to work with my life, whatever that might be. He loves me. What we've lost in the body of Christ is that individualism. We've lost that ability to share. And you got to understand manipulation here. They were manipulating people by the law. You see, the Mosaic law said you had to do certain things. You had to do certain rituals in order to be saved. Of course, Jesus said, if you'll just believe in me, trust in me, call on my name, you shall be saved. Because God knew that if he could get your heart, he'd change all the other stuff. Amen? You see, people don't want to hear these kind of messages today because we want to make sure everything's under control. Churches are the worst in the world for power control. There's always somebody wanting to dominate everything. One family or one group or one person wanting to dominate everything. And how many of you know God is not involved in that? Are you with me this morning? We're talking about barriers Friday night of why churches don't grow. And one of the things we got to take shingles off the walls and off the front of the church. And we've got to let people know that whosoever will can call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Amen? You believe that? You see, they were controlled, get this, by ritualism. This is important stuff. How many of you know the devil don't like me to preach stuff like this because he wants you to know that God wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with you. God made you and created you an individual. What is it that you like? And what is it that you don't like? God is wanting to build relationship with you. Listen, I want you to get this and then we're going to go to the next thing. Ritualism steals the mind. How many times have people said, you know, I'd get saved, or I'd give my heart to God, but I can't live like them people? How many times have you ever heard that? I would get saved, but I can't be what everybody expects me to be. What's wrong with that statement? What everybody expects me to be. How many of you know you can't live by others' expectations? Am I getting anywhere this morning? You cannot. You put 10 people together and you try your best to please 10 people, you're going to go crazy. Amen? Because out of those 10, somebody is not going to like what you do. So what we do is, God is birthing a dream in us. God is birthing something in our life that is different. And we will push that down to the point of even sometimes not even doing it because of what fear somebody might think. Anybody here this morning? When God begins to lead us to do something, see, this is what Paul is dealing with here. God called and raised up Paul to preach to a generation that had felt like they had been forgotten. And God forgets no one. God loves everyone. There is something for everyone to do. As a leader, most people in churches today are frustrated. You want to know why? Because God's calling them to do something, and the first question that comes to their mind, what will they think? Amen? It would mess y'all up if we come in here next Sunday morning. Y'all still love me, by the way? Still love me? Amen. You want me to preach the truth or, you know, Reader's Digest, which you want your Reader's Digest a lot easier. It would mess y'all up if next Sunday morning you come in here and I say, I want everybody on this side to sit over here. And I want everybody to sit over here. You know what? It messed me up. Amen. It messed me up. Because I'm used to doing stuff my way. And I'm not saying that your way is always the right way. But you do have a way that God wants to develop you and build you and make you. Amen. Amen. I'm scared to say amen. What will people think? The second thing I want to talk about this morning is intimidation. Go right on down to verse 6. He said, I marvel. And this is Paul talking to these people. Now, he had just left them. Years of ministry had gone in their lives, and they were excited and they were moving. But now, all of a sudden, they're scattered. Paul says, I marvel, verse 6, that you are so soon removed. Why have you stopped doing what you're doing? Let me tell you what intimidation does. First of all, there's manipulation. If you're in a relationship right now that manipulates you and your self-worth is not there, that's not a good relationship. How many people have dated somebody or married somebody with their intent that, you know, I'm going to change them. You never move forward when you lose who you are. Somebody's got to say amen to that. You never move forward when you lose who you are. And who you are is very, very valuable to God. The second thing is intimidation. They lose self-will. He said, I marvel. I'm amazed at how these people came in and told you that I wasn't real, told you what you believed wasn't real. And look at what it said here. That you are so soon removed from him that called you into grace. See, because they were teaching that the only way to please God is by doing stuff. Did y'all know you're going to get something heavy like this morning? The only way to please God is by what you do. Paul preached, we are justified by faith. In Christ, what does the word say? Alone. How many of you know I couldn't do good enough to be saved? I can't be good enough to be saved. On my best day I'm not good enough to be saved. And that is a lie of the enemy. Performance is a lie of the enemy that always wants you to feel inferior because you can't live up to what you are facing. How many times do we fail in a day? How many times do we fall on our face? And the enemy saying, you ain't saved, you ain't this, you ain't that. And we start believing all that because, you know, I did mess up. Anybody here ever messed up? Amen. Amen. Preach it, Miss Shirley. We're forgiven. And when God forgives you, he don't remember it anymore. So if it ever comes up again, God didn't give it to you. Who did? The enemy. Intimidation says, lose who you are. Get this point right here. Intimidation attacks your purpose. Because you are a unique, unique individual. You cannot be duplicated. You cannot be duplicated. Inside of you is a unique gift that maybe no one else has. God wants you to understand he loves you as an individual. And Paul was saying here, I don't understand how you've just given up everything you believe because of what people say. How much do people influence you? A lot. More than we recognize, more than we'll even say. But we are influenced. And God says that the church in the last day is to be a light. Amen? You can't be a light of who you are trying to be somebody else. Amen. Isn't it amazing what churches get mad about? Isn't it amazing how they get mad at one another for stupid stuff? Can you say stupid in the pulpit?
Of course. Amen.
Amen. I mean, just bent out of shape. Why did they get mad? Because you didn't do what they thought you ought to do. Amen. And we just get all wrapped up in mess like that. And we lose the vision of what we're even called to do. Some of the most hatefulest people in the world go to church every Sunday. I can't believe he said that. Yeah, I said it. Some of the most hatefulest, aggravatingest people in the world go to church every Sunday. And everybody's on pins and needles because everything's got to be their way. Don't rock the horse. I'm going to tell you something. God called you to break the horse down. Amen. Can I speak to you just a minute here? Paul said, I'm not like everybody else. I know I used to be like everybody else. If anybody was like everybody else, Paul was. He was immaculate when it came to knowledge and doing all the ritualistic things. He could do it to a T. But on the road to Damascus, he found out one thing. I didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And he started having a relationship with Jesus Christ. For some reason, God wanted me to preach this because we're getting ready to talk about uniqueness. God wants you to flourish. You've got a wonderful ministry inside of you that maybe has not come out because maybe you think it don't fit. But God did not call you not to fit. God called you to flourish where you are. Amen. Individualism. Individuals. For whosoever will. The Bible talks about working out your own salvation. With fear and trembling. Amen. How many of you know that's in the Bible? Work out your own salvation. How many of you know your relationship with God is unique? And you don't have to be like everybody else. I didn't come from a church background. I was not taught the Bible. I was not taught anything when I was coming up. When I got saved, I felt so intimidated because I didn't know the scriptures. I didn't know how to find books in the Bible like some of my friends did. And I just felt so worthless. And you know what God did? He says, you are not called to be like everybody else. You're called to be you. The worst time in my life is when I was trying to be like everybody else and look like everybody else and act like everybody else. It's just a performance. When inside you are such a hypocrite because you are not who you're trying to project. That's not you. Amen. And the most happiest time in the world is when you break chains of everybody around you and you start saying, God, I love you and I know you love me and you're going to help me through every day of my life. Amen. One of the worst things that breaks individualism is judgmental attitudes. And if you've ever attempted to do anything for God, get ready. Judgment's going to come by somebody. Why are you doing that? We don't need that. You don't need to be doing that. And automatically you're ostracized as to being different. Do you think Jesus was different? Anybody? Do you think he was different? One day this same church group was standing in on a Sunday on a Sabbath day, and I'm not understanding why they weren't in church, but they were following him, and he was eating corn in the field, and they just railed out. You know what he said? I think he invented the word whatever. You ever hear that word? Whatever. And they're sitting there, well, I'll tell you what, you shouldn't be doing that. And Jesus looks at the disciples and, you guys hungry? Yeah, go ahead and keep eating. And I see him look at them and say, whatever. And he just kept on eating. Because he's learning. You know what I've learned about God? He will build you inside out. And you won't do what you shouldn't do because he's told you not to do it. Isn't that amazing? The last thing, three things for battle control: manipulation, intimidation, and condemnation. Look at verse 4, back up to verse 4. He says unto them, verse 3 talking about grace, and then verse 4 he said, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. You know, I never saw this like this until I started studying this. He gave us grace that he might deliver us, look at this next part, from this present evil world. It is evil. It is evil. Get this. It is evil when someone tries to force you into being something that you're not. We live in an evil world, don't we? Look what he said. Let me read it to you again. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this type of intimidation and condemnation and bondage. The battle for control is simply this. In Jesus Christ, there is now no condemnation who are in Christ Jesus. He will love you and build you and make you. And you say, why do we preach sermons like this as we get ready to move into a new month, June? As we talk about uniquely me, I am uniquely me. It came out really good Friday night. We have to be open in our heart to begin to minister to whosoever God leads us to. We can't be judgmental by how they look, how they smell, what color their skin is. We have to be submissive to God and understand this one fact. If it were not for Jesus, we might be on the street too. Amen? If it were not for him, we might be homeless too. If it were not for him, we might not have a job either. Amen? And when you start ministering out of grace, the battle for control is this. God wants to control you and not the enemy dominate you. Listen, we got to live according to the Spirit of God. He loves you, he cares about you, and he wants to develop your life. Inside of you are talents and abilities that maybe you are different. How many of you know it's okay to be different? Look to the woman beside of you and say, it's okay to be different. You don't have to be like everybody else. And we got to get these, we got to break down. Years ago, a book was written, Breaking the Stained Glass Barrier. And it was talking about that we set our rules up so high that nobody who really needs Jesus can even get to him. I want to tell you, Jesus came to seek and to save them that are lost. Have you ever been lost? What do you mean? Have you ever been lost? Have you ever had a time in your life when you just felt like you were just drifting away? Aren't you glad that you serve a God that will go after that one sheep? He'll leave the 99 and he'll go after that one sheep. That one sheep is you. And there are people today, and I deal with this every week, there are people today who visualize God through church. And they say, well, if that's what God is, I don't want him. How many of y'all ever heard that? Well, I was at the bar Saturday night and I seen the same crowd that's in church Sunday morning. Am I being real this morning? And Jesus says, just be who you are. And he will come into your life and he will start changing you and making you what you need to be. Amen? And I tell those people, and I'll close with this. I tell those people, I say, listen, your problem is you got a relationship with a church and not with him. If you're going to follow people, they will always fail you. If you're going to follow preachers, they'll always fail you. If you're going to follow denominations, they will always fail you. Why? Because they're men. And men have their only opinions. And guess what? Your opinion is just as valuable as their opinion. Amen? And Jesus says, lay down your cross, or lay down yourself and pick up the cross and follow him. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. And I want to give you a little homework this week. As you're standing, we're getting ready to pray. I want you to ask the Lord this week to bring one person in your life that you feel like really needs him. Maybe somebody at work, maybe somebody in your neighborhood, maybe somebody you don't even know right now. The Lord put in my heart this week the power of one. I'm not developed that yet, but I'm working on it. The power of one. What can happen if everybody in here touches one person? The thing that I've had to deal with in my life, and maybe you do too, is we have to break our prejudices, we have to break our opinions, and we have to break how we feel about things. How many of you know that's hard to do sometimes? In order for me to be effective, guess what I got to do? Number one, I got to die to self. And that's hard to do. Sometimes you have to minister to them that you don't even like. That's hard. But it's a test. The power of one. I'm going to leave you this morning with the power of one. What could Northview do if everybody in here committed themselves to touch at least one person? Maybe it's a single mom who's struggling just to feed their babies in the mornings and get them to school. Maybe their child needs a school bag, or maybe they need lunch money. Or maybe it's a senior citizen that's struggling with summer coming up to buy medicine or have their house cooled. Or maybe it's a young married couple that has been had a lot of sickness and they just need a night out. They just need somebody to come in and say, look, I'm going to babysit for you tonight and I'm going to pay you a meal to go to the steakhouse and eat supper, and we just want you to know we love you. How many of you think that would be effective? Well, if she hadn't had all that, that pile of children like that, she wouldn't be in that shape. Isn't it amazing how judgmental we get when it's not us? Maybe it's that person that's got a sick loved one And they've been up day and night taking care of them. And what would it mean to them to say, look, we're going to take care of them today. We're going to clean your house. And we just give you the day off. You never know what that might do to somebody. Amen. The power of one. What would happen if I do one thing that would help somebody? One thing that would help somebody. Now some of you, this might go in one ear and one out the other, but if I can just get one in this congregation to hear me this morning and listen, one person can change the world. Amen. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for your love and your mercy. As we enter into a new phase, Lord, a new month of Uniquely Me. God, you love every one of us so much. You gave your son for us. You died on the cross, and you sent your son to die on the cross for us. And Lord, this morning we come and bring our hearts on the, lay them on the altar. Anything in our hearts this morning, Lord, that's not right, as your heads are bowed and no one looking around, I want you to say, if you're here with me this morning, if you say, Lord, I got something in my life that I need you to help me with, I take my heart and my life and I lay it on the altar this morning. If you agree with me on that, would you raise your hand this morning and say, I lay my heart and my life on the altar this morning. Amen. Thank God for those hands. God sees those hands. He sees every one of them. I lay it on the altar this morning, and here's the next prayer. Lord, I want to be used of you. If you're here this morning and you want to be used of God in an effective way, would you raise your hand this morning? God sees that. He sees that. He sees that. God, now you've seen the hands that have been raised today. I pray this week, in a 7-day period, you will send people their way. God, you will open up doors and even close doors. God, you will make a way that they can reach out and touch somebody. Lord, the gift that you've put into them, love and patience and sound mind and all of that, God, that they would use that for your glory and your kingdom. Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless every one of you.